welcome to our conference call for Black Comics at the Endowment for Medical Research. Our host is the CEO, J.C. Spencer. J.C. Spencer, we're glad you're with us.
Greetings, everyone. I'm excited about the response that we've had the last few days from around the world about the Endowment for Medical Research's new improved educational website. We have some rather aggressive plans to educate physicians, healthcare professionals, and the general public in the science of sugars called glycomics. We've gone through some very challenging financial challenges recently because we expected major funding to be just around the corner. Our future, I believe, is indeed very bright, and we still have need for funding, and we have a plan that can leverage that into an educational phase of helping people. The website is being designed to help degreed professors and the general public. And so we welcome you to the website and welcome you to encourage others to join it. It is not promoting any company. It is simply an educational website. And it's a spring-off, really, from the glycomics conferences that we have had where we were successful in educating both physicians and the general public and professional health care all over the country. They came in from a number of different countries. And so that's the pattern that we're doing the website after, so that it will speak to the most educated professor or to the general public. And since the field of glycomics is so relatively new, it's about 20 years old in total, and normally it takes about 40 years for a new science or a great discovery to be accepted worldwide. And I feel like we're about halfway through that educational phase, and indeed we may be able to accelerate the paradigm shift on people learning about glycomics simply by networking the information to the, you know, to the world.
Well, J.C., the biological sugars that's in the human body is relatively unknown by most people. But so let's start off. Let me ask you a question for conversation. We've had others that have joined us, and feel free to interrupt and contribute and ask questions. But I'd like to just like for you to start off with what does make for a healthful sugar? What is a healthy sugar?
Well, there's about 200 sugars found in nature, and we have been taught that they were only for, you know, for energy. They were not, they had no medicinal benefit. And back in the late 1980s was when the first sugar was isolated and determined to have medicinal benefits. And of course, the world scoffed, the medical profession scoffed. And now the science of sugars or glycomics is being accepted pretty rapidly, in that the pharmaceutical companies are in a frenzy to develop pharmaceutical drugs utilizing these sugars for two reasons. One is, I guess it's the old phrase, a little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. Well, the fact is it can help detox the body of the harmful side effects of the drugs while helping get the drugs into the system. But that's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing more on the natural, the healthy of the sugars that are found in nature that have benefits. And so in my book, Expand Your Mind, Improve Your Brain, I talk about three categories of sugars. There's harmful sugars that we know about, and there's a lot of those out there, harmful sugars and harmful sweeteners. And even on the website, we had posted about, I think the Sugar Association is really coming out strong against the artificial sweeteners because of mislabeling and claims that just really, you know, are not there, that they're not as healthy as they are, that the public really thinks they are. But there are some fairly good sweeteners out there. Of course, we know some of them as honey and molasses and pure cane sugar and some unrefined sugars that are not as bad for you. They still normally cause a sugar spike. But there are some sugars that...
Let me interrupt you just for a minute, J.C. Basically, what are biological sugars? I mean, when we think of sugar, we think of something sweet to the tongue, to the taste. Can you expand on the sugars and what they actually do?
Biological sugar, I guess all sugars are biological. That's not the issue. What is the issue is what is functional sugars. And some sugars are harmful for you and some are good for you. But when it comes to functional sugars, that's a whole new ball game. When I was writing the book, and Dr. Rob Murray was writing the foreword and editing it for me, and I had in there the three categories of harmful sugars, the good sugars, and then I call them super sugars. And he didn't like the expression super sugar because these are sugars that really have a strong, powerful, natural, functional component in them that aids the cells and helps the body. Well, so I tossed around, what do you call these? And so I said, well, why don't we call them royal sugars? And Dr. Murray said he liked that. He liked that a lot better than he did the super sugar. So in the book, I call them royal sugars. And there may be more added to nature because when it comes to science and phytochemicals and the sugars and those and the chemicals that are leached out of plants, probably the research is so new that I'm guessing less than 5% of the phytochemicals have been leached out of plants that we know about. But what is exciting now is that the pharmaceutical companies, the National Institute of NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and universities around the world are doing a lot of research now on these royal sugars. In fact, is if you go to PubMed.gov, and that's the website for the National Library of Medicine. If you go to that website, you can find just about published papers on just about anything. Well, as of today, there are about 450,000 references on that website pointing toward the published papers on glycoproteins. And glycoproteins is the combination of these sugars that they form it's like fuzz on a peach or trees on the surface of the earth. It's the glycoprotein receptor sites that are made up from specific sugars. And so while the Genome Project, and we've got something on the website that I think is extremely interesting about he's both a medical doctor and a PhD, and he's worked for the National Institutes of Health for 15 years now, and he is the one that has had such a strong, or is forever going to have a strong impact on Huntington's disease and Alzheimer's and Parkinson and MS and ALS and ADD and ADHD and dementia and not only all of the neurodegenerative diseases, but also just really the future of human health. Because Dr. Francis Collins has, for the 15 years, been mapping the whole genome system of the human body. And this is awesome. And so we have more technology and more ability to find out where a person is health-wise today than ever in all of history. And what to me is so exciting is now we are going to see, and I hope our website plays a role in educating people on this, it's playing a role in bringing together the Genome Project and glycomics, because glycomics is the science of the sugars that build the operating system for the cells, build the operating system for the body. So here we have the DNA, and we have all of this vast knowledge that's been stored up now around the world on cells of animals and plants and human beings, and we know that there are characteristics within the DNA, and there are what the doctors call altered gene expression. And when the DNA has certain codes in it, it points out that that person is more susceptible to getting Huntington's disease or Alzheimer's or any of the other myriad of hundreds and hundreds of diseases. And so medical science is really, really progressed a lot when it comes to from when it comes to knowing about things and gathering a lot of the data.
Let me ask you, JC, you mentioned a little bit, but what is the mystery of Huntington's and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and sugars? How do they?
What is the what?
What's the actual mystery of these dementia diseases? And one other thing, what is the difference between the operating system and the immune system?
Well, it's like a computer. You've got the zeros and ones. Well, in the DNA, there's four codes, four letters, and that can make up a myriad of languages that they don't even understand yet. They're just finding the sequences. But the greatest need in all of science right at this moment is the ability to take the DNA coding, all of that, and translate it into easy-to-understand language. In other words, have an operating system that does that. Now, we don't have that in the computer technology, but your body has it. Your body has it, and the operating system for the body is made up of these sugars. Now, that's awesome, because the sugars, being the operating system for the body, takes the genome project, adding it to the glycomics, and you've got the absolute ultimate in science of knowing for the future of health and for the determination of what to do for the human body and what's best for it. And there are some awesome papers that's being published as we speak, that's been published even the last few days and few weeks on this subject of dealing with altering gene expression. Okay. And so all the work that Dr. Francis Collins did is getting the data in the bank, getting the data in the storage device so that we can now begin to analyze it and learn how to speak the language of the DNA.
Let's just get practical here. We have a lot of information on the endowmentmed.org site concerning Trehalose. Make some applications or make some parallels. What is Trehalose? What's going on with Trehalose, and what impact is it making?
Okay, Trehalose is a functional sugar, and I think the future of this science and the future of healthcare, we're going to see the paradigm shift more and more, and it is when companies start using functional label claims. We know the Quaker Oats did it, and they say the Quaker Oats, because of the fiber and all, you know, aids the heart. Well, that's a simple functional claim. Well, if you want to go into the news section of the website, or into the sugar science forum, you can read a lot of science papers that have been written on Trehalose. And I'm not talking about just anecdotal things. I'm talking about clinical trials. I'm talking about studies. I'm talking about where they have tested, where they have found that, for an example, and this is wild, this is really strong, when they can find that the DNA gene expression for susceptibility of Huntington's disease, for an example, here it is. Here's what makes it susceptible. There are documentations now that Trehalose can alter that gene expression. That's pretty awesome. And now on the website, we've got an area for published science papers, and a lot of those are posted on there. And there's one on Alzheimer's that I just think is awesome. Now, we're not making medical claims that Trehalose cures Huntington's disease or cures Alzheimer's or anything like that. We're not making medical claims like that. But what we are saying, there are science papers out there that report I don't have a computer before me, but if you go to the Sugar Science Forum and click on the science papers, and it says all about Trehalose, you'll find the two gene markers that make Alzheimer's susceptible. Well, they have found that the Trehalose can address those markers. Now, when we did a lot of the pilot surveys, nutritional pilot surveys, and we had a lot of people with different health challenges do what is called the evaluation form and fill all of that out. We had some really tremendous success with that, but what we are now learning in the science papers that are being written as to why we had those really good success papers. In fact, I posted a new one on there this morning dealing with simple ways to improve health. There have been papers that were written within the last few weeks dealing, and I'm talking about these are major university studies, where they have found that if we improve the immune system, it does address Alzheimer's. Well, this is major. So how do we improve the immune system? Let's modulate the immune system. Let's get the immune system closer to where it should be, and we do that by good nutrition. It's very, very simple. What we're talking about in glycomics, HL, is really not a revolution. It's a renaissance. Okay. It's going back to nature.
Yeah. Let me, JC, let's give a little opportunity for those who have called in or are on the conference call to ask you a question, and let's give that opportunity. So if you would like to ask JC Spencer a question, just introduce yourself and where you're from, and have at it. Who'll be first?
Hi. Hello.
Hello there.
This is Martha Barker.
Hey, Martha. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Why doesn't Dr. Nugent recommend Trehalose for the GK diet? He says it's high glycemic.
We're not talking about... here's what a number of doctors have thought that. And I had an email just this week from somebody that read the label and said, oh, my goodness, said, don't take Trehalose, said it's high glycemic. Well, here's an interesting fact. It has the calories in it, but the fact is that it does not cause a sugar spike. This is exciting. Even Splenda causes a sugar spike. Trehalose does not cause a sugar spike. And because a person reads the label and say, well, all this is two glucose of molecules bonded together, and they are right. It's just molecules bonded together. But one of them is turned upside down, and because of that, it takes the enzyme called trehalase, which carries trehalose to the different parts of the body and breaks it up or severs the glucose molecules only when the body seems to need it. Now, this is major. What I found this is so exciting. I was talking with an executive major organization just this week, and we were talking about how it is so fascinating where you can have one molecule here and you can have the exact molecule over there. And let's take a simple molecule of water. You take a simple molecule of water, H2O. You can't get much more simple than that unless you have carbon, hydrogen, or oxygen by themselves. So here's the water molecule. It's H2O. Now, we can do things to that H2O molecule to spread the angle between the two hydrogen atoms. If you spread those apart, you have suddenly made the water wetter. You have suddenly made the water not have a surface tension. One of the sugars, now not just trehalose, because it's the angle of the bond, it's the way the bond is put together, that causes the function of it, even though the molecule is the same. There is one sugar that there are 50 different angles or ways that the molecule can be put together. It's the same molecule. It is identical, the same molecule, but it has a different function. Now, this is an interesting area because this is the difference between clinicians and lab technicians. A lab technician can work in the lab, and he can have this molecule and that molecule. I remember my daddy told me 50 or 60 years ago, he said, son, he said, they have just been able to produce seawater in the lab. Molecule by molecule, it is seawater. They only have one problem with it. Nothing will live in it. Now, so in the lab, you can do molecule by molecule duplication, and you think it is identical, but the body does not recognize it as identical. In fact, it may have a totally different function because of the pH, because of the angle of the bond, and because of the another science that we're going to get into probably real strong before long is called spin technology. Spin technology is the angle, and it deals with a science that most scientists know nothing about. I'll give you a brief example. Sucrose is a sugar with a right spin. Levulose is a sugar with a left spin. Left spin sugar is better for you than a right spin sugar. Dextrose and bidextrose is all mixed up. So there's so much science involved. I've had scientists that I've worked with that are experts on water. I mean, just water by itself. And water is so different from one molecule to another because of the charge on it, because of the angle between the hydrogen atoms and this type of thing. So we're into an area of science that is so fascinating, and just like the people that first discovered the functional sugars were scoffed at and laughed at, as we move forward with this, there's going to be doctors and professors that I had a doctor that I talked with this week that asked the question that why, you know, what do you call a healthy sugar? What is a healthy sugar? Well, by the time we got through, he had a better understanding of it, but we have just scratched the surface of being able to communicate with the cells of the body. And just because you have one sugar, for an example, that is a beneficial sugar that wants to go into a cell, it may not be able to go into that cell if the ion charge is not right, if the angle of the spin is not right. This is so significant because we've got, in our Alzheimer's study that we did, we had non-responders, slow responders, and hyper responders. My quest in life is to find out why we do not have more hyper responders, and I believe we're on the precipice of learning what to do to help those that have not had response before. Mm-hmm. To me, that's one of the most exciting things in science you can imagine.
That's a pretty elaborate answer, Martha, for your question. Thank you so much. Is there another question someone would like to ask? Just introduce yourself and what city you're from, and ask J.C. Spencer your question. Who'll be next?
I think you answered all of them, H.L.
Well,
I'll tell you what, we have answered a lot up on the website.
See, let me
a lot of questions that's answered there.
Let's get... What does Trehalose do that's different than the other functional sugars that most of us are on this call know about? What area of the cell does it deal with?
Well, there's a lot of study out on that. It seems in most cases to strengthen the cell membrane. And the cell membrane, when the cell membrane becomes stronger, when the cell membrane becomes more acceptable to opening its doors to nutrients to come into the body, that seems to be the role that it plays. There's a lot to be discovered yet on it, because we're wanting to do a lot of reverse engineering, because here this has happened and this has happened, but we don't fully understand why it happened. Kind of standing around looking at it may say it didn't happen.
So the eight glyconutrients that help form the glycoprotein, that is one area of the sugars, and then the trehalose actually goes to the membrane and not to the glycoprotein form.
The glycoprotein receptor sites protrude through the cell membrane. And if you have a cell that is, say, the shape of a donut, it's obvious to realize that probably they are not standing very erect and they are laid over and all that. We don't know all the ramifications of this. But if you have a healthy cell and the cell is more plump, the cell has a stronger cell membrane, it just makes sense to me that the glycoprotein receptor sites would work better.
Okay.
But see, the University of California in San Diego got a $34 million grant, and there's been millions and millions of other dollars worth of grants given just to study glycoprotein technology, just to study these sugars. That's how significant it is.
Well, JC, the Endowment for Medical Research is doing an awful lot to educate the public, and let me just kind of ask you, what are your goals? What do you have in mind for the future of the endowment?
Well, one of the things that I want to do, for an example, we have 28 hours of continuing medical education already in the can. We were able to produce 14 of those hours into DVDs, and we gave CMECU credits for those DVDs. The time has expired on that, so people can still get the albums at a $100 discount and get the 14 hours of education there. One of the objectives that I have for the Endowment for Medical Research's website, www.endowmentmed.org, is that we will have a 24/7 training center on glycomics. And we take that we've already got in the can, the 28 hours of continuing education, and we chop that up into 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 12 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever each segment is, so that a doctor, a physician, healthcare professional, or the general public can go to the website, and they can go to the website and they can do the study. They can do it at leisure 24/7 anytime they want to, and get all of the training, and then take the test, submit it, and get a CME credit or CEU credits for doing that. We are only about $25,000 away of making all of that a reality. And when we make that a reality, not only can the healthcare professional around the world go get their education there, but they can also be able to, well, the general public can go there too. And that's what we did with the glycomics conference that was so successful, where we had the general public in one auditorium and the healthcare professionals in another auditorium, and so that each doctor did two trainings. Well, we'll do the same thing on, you know, online, so that anybody can go through the training, and we will have a fee of probably about $30 a month or $300 a year for anybody to go through all of that massive training anytime that they want to and get their, you know, get their certification.
Well, JC, if someone would like to ask a question, go ahead. Okay. We're winding down to the end of our 30-minute section, a segment here, and this guy kind of like to, for you to direct this question or answer this one. Listening in, what can someone who's not done anything, not accomplished much in health for themselves or for others, what can anyone do to be involved and in this new science?
Well, what I'd like for everyone to do is to go to the Sugar Science Forum. It's intense as far as all of the information that is there, so you can glean the information from it at will. You can go in and leave your own message or information on there if you want to. And then one thing that I think would be the most significant, that what you who are on this call can do, is to let other people know that all of this information is available. The website is free, except for the eventually the 28 hours of training. But the website is free, and they can go in there. Healthcare professionals, regardless of their education, I feel can go in there and still learn something. And we're wanting to support not only the professional, healthcare professional, but we want to support the general public. And the general public is crying out for a paradigm shift. They're crying out for something that really works, and something that is as effective as trehalose and effective as the sugars in glycomics. That is called evidence-based nutrition. There is evidence-based medicine, there's evidence-based nutrition, but there's an awful lot of things that do not work. I had someone contact me yesterday dealing with an individual that the diabetes was just totally out of control, and a brand new baby. I mean, here is a child that diabetes is rampant. And so we are seeing, because of all of the toxins that's come upon us, and all that we need to get the toxins out. And the thing about toxins is that they are so fine that they go past the blood-brain barrier a lot of times. And if a toxin goes past the blood-brain barrier, it needs to be removed. And the only way you can remove it is for the body to tell it to get out of there. And this is the exciting thing about the DNA and what we're learning about the neurons and all, is that the DNA, the helix, the double helix that contain the lattice between the double helix for the DNA, that when toxins become embedded on that double helix, that can alter gene expression. Dr. David Busby was one of the presenters. He's a professor at A&M. He presented two papers at our glycomics conference, two studies, and dealing with how the toxins can alter the DNA. And then he also presented a paper, and this is another paper out of the University of Minnesota that I'm so excited about, with Dr. Karen Ash there and what she has discovered, and that is when specific nutrients can be placed back into the body and they attach naturally to the double helix of the DNA, it can alter the gene expression positively that time. And so this is the future of healthcare. This is the future of medicine. This is the future of companies that will get functional label claims on their foods, and so on their supplements. And this is so exciting because the public needs to know, and the website is here to help educate, and hopefully you will play a role in helping send the link and send this information so that all of your sphere of influence can come to the website and learn about glycomics.
Well, J.C. Spencer, thank you so very much for being with us during this 30-minute segment. I just want you to know that I did have my shredded wheat with a heaping teaspoon of Trehalose on it this morning, as I do daily.
Okay, good.
One
of the best ways to get that in your body is just to simply put it on your cereal or in your coffee or tea or your drink. So, well, thanks, everyone, for being on, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you very much, Jesus Spencer, and goodbye, everyone.